Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, The Sanctification of the Christian. Am I still saved if I wrestle with sin?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we talked about walking together with our Lord in a close, intimate fellowship that we have with Him through Jesus Christ. And that is a great and a wonderful thing, for we as Christians, having believed in Christ, are a free people, saved and loved and accepted by God. We're new creations for a new life with the Lord. Today, I want to ask this question. If we are actually free, if we're a new creation, to walk with the Lord in a good way and no longer in the old, bad, wrong, and evil ways, why do we still wrestle with sin? Why do we have to continually fight against this wickedness inside of us, this inner battle that we all have to wage? And here's the real question for today. Here's the kicker. If we're not yet perfect, is God going to be angry with us? Is He going to forsake us? Is He going to cease to walk with us if we are not yet, as we're called to be, perfect, as we know we should be and as we want to be and as He commands us? So let's talk today about Christian perfection and see what God would teach us about that today for our help and encouragement in Jesus Christ. First of all, if we're going to talk about Christian perfection today, let's start with something great and wonderful. Namely, that our God, who created you, who now walks with you in Christ, He Himself is perfect. Amen? Say the word perfect. Perfect. Look at what Moses says of the Lord. He says, the rock, His way is perfect. For all His ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and right is He. This is the God with whom you walk every day. Absolute, perfect perfection. Quintessential, 100% perfection. Remember what Jesus said about God the Father, as recorded by the Apostle John in his first letter? John says, this is the message that we heard from Him, namely Jesus, and declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 100% light is our God. 100% perfect in every way. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. He's 100% powerful. All things are possible for Him. Nothing's impossible for Him. He can do anything. Anything He wants. Complete power. He's 100% all-knowing. He knows absolutely everything. There's not a thing He doesn't know. He is 100% everywhere present. There's nowhere you can go where He isn't. 100% righteous is He. He's a God without unrighteousness or wrong of any kind. 100% right. He's 100% victorious. Think about this. The God who walks with you in life never loses. Isn't that comforting? He always wins. And He's 100% glorious. His glory fills the heavens and the earth. This is great. This rock, His way is perfect. And this is a perfection that the Holy Spirit calls us to exclaim with great joy and rejoice in as Christians, as David said in 2 Samuel 22. David says, this God, His way is perfect. The promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. So do you rejoice with me in the perfection of our God? Amen. The second thing we learn from Scripture about perfection is that this perfect God with whom we walk actually really calls you and me to also be perfect. Where is this written? Let's take a look over here at Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Because he's a perfect king and God. He has a perfect kingdom. You're his kingdom. He wants you and me perfect as well. And even it's his command. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let me ask you, is that an encouraging, cheerful word to you or kind of troubling? Well, let's consider, what kinds of perfection is God after with us? Is it about everything or certain things? Well, what kind of perfection is he after? Let's start out by saying this. What is he not after? He's not after the kind of perfection that the world is after, which is what? Outer perfection. Perfection in the outward appearance of things. Isn't that true? Don't we all, as people in the world, seek perfection in the outer world and the appearances of things? I mean, every man should look like Ken and every woman Barbie. Especially the women, you're supposed to look like Barbie. Men, you can kind of look like Ken, but you should do your best. But women, you should be Barbie. Your physique should be perfect. Your health should be always perfect. Always young, always good looking, always full of energy. And frankly, if you want to wonder whether the world seeks after this, just go to the same gym and see how people run after and try to get this outer perfection. Not only that, but the world seeks outer perfection in everything else too. I mean, the house should look perfect. Your yard should be perfect. Your fence should be perfect. Your bank account should be perfect. Your marriage should be perfect. All right, never a squabble, Hollywood perfect romance, perfect kids who always get A's on all of their tests, are all college graduates, they should all have successful careers, you should all have perfect vacations, and a life free from all troubles, mistakes, and no failures. A perfect life in everything outer. Say the word outer. Outer. Isn't that true? We all go after outward perfection. It's the way the world works. God says, that's not what I'm after. I'm after inner perfection of the heart, of the soul, and of character before God. Because if you think about this word, that Jesus commanded us, right, to be perfect as our Heavenly Father, what's the context of that in Matthew 5? Let's take a look at the context. Good to read it by context. Here's the context. Same chapter, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then he calls us to a pure life, to avoid sin, to seek God first in his kingdom, to endure persecutions, and even to love our enemies and to do good to everybody. And then he says, be ye perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So am I right in saying that he's after inward perfection of the heart, the soul, and the character? God says, you be perfect and go after these things. Walk with me in a pure, perfect heart, seeking my face, delight in my kingdom and my ways, do good to others, and so imitate my heart, which is perfect, my heart and soul. I want you to be like me, your Father, you, my children. So in this way, Jesus says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not in the outward appearance, but in the inner truth. How's this message going with you so far? You feel good? Is this a good message, or is it a troubling message? Well, you know, let's start with the good. It's a good message. Of course, it comes from the Lord, but here are two reasons I love this message from the Lord. Number one, it's so freeing that we don't have to be perfect on the outward, which, you know, we all want to strive for as people. You know, we want to look perfect, be perfect in our youth. Good luck keeping that up as you get older. Perfect in body, perfect in athleticism, perfect in energy, the perfect marriage, perfect house and home and cars and kids and everything. Just, you never make a mistake, you never say anything wrong, you preach the perfect sermon, you don't even stutter, everything's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, perfect on the outside. I'm so glad that Jesus and God doesn't require that of us, because frankly, it is a burden too heavy to bear, isn't it? Keeping up appearances is a full-time job, And we're all going to fail because this is a falling apart world. And we're going to have, therefore, wrong words, bodies not perfect, houses falling into disrepair, kids not perfect, and all this. And it's so freeing, really, to think God says, not after that. That's okay. My people can have failings. They can have mistakes. They can have troubles in life. Their bodies can break down, their houses, whatever. But I'm good with that. I'm good with that. It's okay. I'm not after the outward. I'm after the inner. So it's so freeing for that reason. Second thing, I think this is a great message from the Lord is because, hey, he wants me perfect. Isn't that a great word? I want to be perfect too, Father. Like Father, like Son, I want to be like my dad. I want to be perfect and pure like you are up there in heaven, God. I'm so happy you call me to this. So that's cool. I want to be that too. But it's kind of a troubling message too, wouldn't you say? Because if we're honest and we look inside of ourselves, investigate our hearts, what do we really see? Not perfection, but imperfections, abounding enticements to sin, lusts, desires, evil cravings. We see at times, even we at times fall into sin. And certainly when we look inside, we say, man, he calls me to perfection, but I see only gross imperfections to the point I actually hate it and I tremble at these words of God. When he says, be perfect, man, I fall short of that. I come up short. Oh no, woe is me. And we begin to cry out and say, oh God, you call me to this, you're a holy God, and I'm not perfect. Are you going to forsake me? Are you going to be angry with me? Are you going to continue to walk with me, Lord? Are you going to forsake me and leave me alone and depart somewhere else because I'm not yet perfect? When we begin to despair in those kinds of ways, God quickly jumps in, I want you to know, and says, no. Wait, my children. Wait, I've got a good word for you about Christian perfection, a word to cheer your soul. So you want to hear that, or should we end right now? All right, let's see what God says to us about Christian perfection. Number one, we already saw that he's commanded you and me to be perfect. So that's his command. It's his will. It's his goal. He wants us absolutely perfect because he is, and his kingdom is perfect, so we need to be perfect too. Yes, that's true, God says. The second thing he says to us, though, is I know that you are not perfect yet. You all have troubles and failings and things wrong inside of you as well. But here's the news to cheer your soul, that I, the perfect God, have provided for you a way to be counted as perfect, even though you're not yet perfect in every way in your heart, through my Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the gospel. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You could say imperfect, you could say horrifically imperfect. Wicked, evil, and dead is the word of the scriptures. God is perfect. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on wrong, it says in Habakkuk. So he needs perfection. If you're going to come near, you got to be perfect. You can't get close. Okay, you got to be perfect. Then John the Baptist cries out when he sees Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What is the sin? Is all those stains, imperfections, evils, gross, horrific things. That's got to be taken away. Jesus comes to remove your impurities of wickedness, to count you as righteous. We needed a perfect sacrifice. What kind of lamb do you offer to the Lord in the Old Testament, friends, you know? We read in Leviticus 22, when anyone offers a sacrifice to the Lord to be accepted, it must be perfect. Perfect. There shall be not one blemish in it. What did God provide for you and me? The perfect lamb, Jesus Christ. Peter says, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Absolutely perfect. God in the flesh, Jesus, Savior, came to be the perfect sacrifice for us, to die for us that we be set free to to perfection and counted as righteous. Can you perfect yourself? Well, the law, it says of the law in the Bible, Hebrews 7:19 says, the law made nothing perfect, and the law cannot save you because it can't make anything perfect. All it can do is say, be perfect, but it gives you no power to become perfect. You fall short, it shows you to be imperfect, it actually kills you. On the other hand, says the scriptures, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God, namely Jesus. Hebrews 9, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, you know, heaven, he entered once for all into the holy place, heaven, taking not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood to secure for you an eternal salvation and redemption. Hebrews 10, this is really important. If you haven't paid attention yet, listen now. Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. In other words, God justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. If you've believed in him, you are for once and all perfected and counted as righteous and clean in his sight for the sake of Jesus and his shed blood in whom you've believed. Isn't that great? So what does that mean? You're still impure, you're not yet perfect, but because you've believed in Christ, by God's grace, he counts you as perfect in his sight, without sin, without spot, without stain, cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, perfect. This is called your justification. Let's say that word together. Justification. You guys are good. You're awake. You must have gone to bed early. So, once we are justified in Christ, then begins the process of sanctification. Once we're all justified, you are set free and counted as perfect. Now begins the process of growing up to be personally pure in heart and more into the image of Jesus Christ every day by the Spirit. In other words, God is our Father. Amen? We are his born-again children. And he's going to then, once we're justified, start to grow you up as a father into the image of perfection, Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, which is a process. It takes a lifelong process. It's never totally finished until we get to heaven and to the day of the Lord. So is God going to be angry with you if you're born again and you're not yet perfect in your life? No. Outward, we can let that go. He's not after that. Inner, he's working on it. He says, I'm working on this. You are justified, but let's start now the process of sanctification, getting you more righteous internally. And I'm not angry with you while I'm doing this. I'm delighting in it, for you're a new creature. Was Paul perfect when he was saved? Well, he was a horrific sinner, right? Ananias says, rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. So Paul gets up, he's washed. What happens? All of his sins are gone. His impurities are gone. He's counted as righteous. He's justified. Was Paul perfect as soon as he was saved? No, he had to grow up in the faith. He went in the right way right away, preached Jesus, but he wasn't yet totally mature. How do we know this? Look at Romans 7. Even years later, he says this, I can will what is right, but I can't do it. For I don't do the good I want, but the evil I don't want, that's what I do. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do the right thing, evil lies very close at hand. He says, for I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members, in other words, in my body, there's something else at work here. A law at work with the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin, which dwells in my members. And even years after getting saved, he says, wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Ha! Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul was by far not perfect when he was saved. He was counted as perfect, but he was in the process of becoming more mature, a full child in the Lord and grown up. And he had zeal to grow up fast, as we all do. As Philippians 3, he says, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Doesn't every child want to grow up fast? They don't want to be considered a child for long. They want to become an adult. Well, we want to race up to be adults too. quickly. And God is in the process of making it happen. We just got to be patient. God's gifts were some to be apostles, some prophets, some past evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. That doesn't go with the woke culture, but it goes with God. Mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles, but rather we become fully mature adults in Jesus Christ. So you're in the right place. You're in church. This is where God is growing you up, and every time by his word. But I want to ask this question. Is God angry with you because you're not yet fully grown adults? When Naomi was born, and you know this with your own children, I mean, she was born on March 24th, 2000. As her father, I did not immediately expect her to drive the car or to handle the bills or to be a fully mature woman. When she was a baby, I rejoiced over her that she was my baby, as God rejoices over you when you're born again. I had great delight, didn't expect a whole lot from her. And I remember when she had her first words down there in Maryland. And she went, you want to hear her first prophetic words? Her marvelous words? It was, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And I was like, yeah, Beth, that's great. She said, ba-ba-ba-ba. God, when you're growing up, even if you're not yet a full mature, he delights in every step of your way. I taught her to, you know, crawl. Beth did too, and to take her first steps, and we cheered her on. Her first bike ride, I remember on Merritt Island, I was running behind and right next to her on the bike to keep her if she fell over because she was not so stable. She might topple. And I was cheering her on. Doesn't God run next to you, cheering you on every step of the way as you begin to balance on your bike? First day of school, then high school, then eventually in driving and college. And now, guess what? Naomi is a fully mature, married woman. And you know, the goal has been accomplished. This is how God is, I want you to know today, with you. He's not angry with you because you're not yet perfect. He's delighting in you, growing you up as a father. Every step of the way, every little milestone, but he has in his mind the picture to which he has destined you, which is Jesus Christ. You know, you're actually destined to look like him in time. For we all with unveiled face, says Paul, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. So when you're justified, you are immediately counted as perfect, saved in Christ. When you're being sanctified, you're getting grown up. And he is delighting in you today as you strive to run and grow up in him to be a full adult. And so let's run for that. Paul says in Romans 6, this is what our life should look like. Just as you once or used to yield your body, your members, to impurity and greater iniquity, you know, when you were an unbeliever, to go after sin, so now that you're a Christian, yield your body, your members, to righteousness for sanctification, becoming more like Christ every day. That's the joy in the race of a Christian, and that's the joy of God to run with you and to grow you up to be mature, full men in Christ, adults. For we are ultimately God's workmanship. In progress, though, we are his workmanship, his masterpiece. We said that last week, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you are his what? His masterpiece. But you're not his finished masterpiece. You are his masterpiece in progress towards that. He's the potter, you're the clay, you're still on the wheel. He's the father, you're the sons, he's still running next to you on your bike, cheering you on as you get better. He is the silversmith, you and I are the silver. And he burns away our impurities even daily by fire. Till at last he can see his face in the silver perfectly reflected. He'll know when he's done with you when you and I look like himself, like Jesus Christ. And we have such super hope today, friends, for this. joyful confidence, because here's the good word from the Bible. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You're going to look like Jesus. God's destined you for it. What a joy that is for us, and it will be for us to be mature adults with our Father in the kingdom. So today, this is what I want to share with you. Don't be despairing. Don't beat yourself up too much. Yes, confess when you sin, but be encouraged. Be zealous to grow up quickly into full adulthood in Christ. You're being led and grown up by God into the image of Christ, and He's going to make it happen, and it's a joy, should be every step of the way. And for what are we being grown up? Watch this, for a perfect world, a new heavens and a new earth, where there's only righteousness, life, and joy. And Paul says, when the perfect comes, the imperfect's going to pass away. And then we're going to have not only perfect inner purity by the Lord's work in us, and not only being counted perfect, but even the outer is going to be absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, perfect. The world will be perfect, the kingdom, and your bodies will be raised imperishable in Christ, changed and glorified to look like His own perfect body. For a continued walk together with Him in that kingdom, but no longer as children, but as mature sons with their wondrous Father in the joy of the kingdom of glory to come, and that face to face. Whew. So praise be to God. Thank you, Lord, for your perfection and what you're working in us so perfectly. We exclaim, therefore, with David as we conclude here today, 2 Samuel 22, this God, whose way is perfect, the promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Sanctification of the Christian. Am I Still Saved If I Wrestle with Sin? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.